He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me, go ahead, ask me how I know he lives. Church, he lives within my heart. Does he live inside your heart? Amen. Thank you for coming back tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you brought your mug to church tonight. Amen. And don't forget, we got special things going on. Tomorrow night, we're preaching about the value of one. And on Tuesday, bring your mug, a mug, and some ugly mug. Amen. You with that? You got to bring your mug, a mug, the funnier, the crazier, your personality, whatever, and then some other mug, amen, and get you to come. And then on Wednesday, church, come, please, church, come, and bring a bit of rope with you, okay? We're going to tie everything up on Wednesday. Play on words, but yes, that's what we're going to do. And so let me turn this on so the guy, I think Brother Steve, can. There, how about that? Ta-da! I got it. I was just testing pastor. Amen. Testing the pastor. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, it is a joy to be here. I've been looking forward to coming back over here to Painesville, Ohio. We just came down from Michigan, and we didn't get any snow in Michigan. We weren't getting snow in Michigan. We pulled in around the corner and parked in and went off with Pastor. You know, I called Pastor, let him know, hey, we're on our way. He said, Brother Holtzler, you know they're calling for snow. Snow and trailers don't match. Okay, especially when you're traveling down the road, at least these kind of trailers. 18-wheelers have bigger tires, okay? They have bigger tires, more of them, but these are little daddy tires, and they do like to slide around with you. So we don't want that at all. But God's been good. We praise the Lord for his blessing, and yes, thank you so much. I do like the sound of the roar of motors. I'm not a motor head, but I like tinkering a little bit. And right down the road, you know, much more than I do, but they got a big special going on. So I'll get you out early enough so you can go listen with me, okay? But we're going to hear them go around. I heard they're doing a 100-lap ARCA race tonight. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go on over there and raid. What's wrong with that? Carry our King James Bible, pocket full of gospel tracts, and we'll sit everywhere. Amen? We won't go to the blue zone, the family zone. We won't go there. Let's go where the drunks are, amen, and everything. They need to hear more. But can I tell you something? That's not where the fun is. That's not where the true joy is. The true joy is right here. Can I tell you something? They're the ones missing out. In just a minute, you're going to see Brother Holt's call go round and round and round and round and round. Amen. But it's just a joy to be here with you. It's a joy to encourage you in the Lord. And I pray that you've already enjoyed this morning. And I do want to continue in the life of Barnabas. And this next message deals with Barnabas continuing as a helps ministry missionary. But as with anyone who serves the Lord and has given their heart to the Lord, God will open a door. He's going to open a door for you to serve. If you'll just say, here, my Lord, send me. Here, my Lord, send me. Our brother up here who just played a wonderful song. I know that he is my Lord. He is a Savior. I like that little part of the first chorus. I talked to him this afternoon. I like that. But you know what? Just because you have a talent doesn't mean God may use that talent. He's got more things he wants you to use. But my friend, if he's given you a talent, you haven't given it to him. Oh, my friend, you're the one missing out. Yeah. You're the one missing out and being a great blessing. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the ladies that played this morning. Yes, I appreciate Vaughn. I really do. I know I picked on him a little bit this morning, but I appreciate Vaughn. And Brother Steve, I really appreciate him. That way he doesn't turn me off with the microphone and everything. But hey, we all have got little things that God's given us to do. And by that, we give that to the Lord, as we talked about this morning. And in giving that, that's our first step of being a good Barnabas. A good Barnabas. We read there in Acts chapter number 4, verse 36 and 37. And I pointed out more, verse 37, about Barnabas and how he had land and he sold it and he brought it to the apostles and laid it at his feet. And we talked about the Barnabas and how he had given himself personally and how he had given himself sacrificially and how he had given this gift of himself completely and humbly. You know, God's not looking for some proud peacocks to fluff their feathers around and say, "Look at me." That's not what God's looking for. God's not looking for the Ananias and Sapphiras. God's looking for that humble heart. God's looking for that willing heart. God is looking for that one that comes in just looking for an opportunity to serve. You see, the Lord, he came to be a servant and not to be served. And he's the one that has served us and is serving us and has given so much for us. The Bible says it's our reasonable service over in Romans. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So it's just reasonable for us to be a Barnabas, a helper, a comforter, a strengthener, an empowerer, one that comes alongside, the encourager. And can I tell you something? I praise God for the ones that have been in my life to have encouraged me along life's way. They haven't been the big names, although I've heard some great messages from some big preachers that have great ministries, and they have had an impact on my life. But the one that had the greatest impact on my life was my dad. My dad. Well, what did he do in the church? He drove a Sunday school bus. He taught kindergarten, Sunday school class. And loved every minute of it. My dad's been on a bus route over 40 years. He had to finally get off. He's still in phase one, if not into phase two, of Alzheimer's. When he turned 70 years old, he started his last bus route. 70. He went from 12 to 60 in about 3 months. Wow. He just had a heart to give, and he still has a heart to give when folks come in to the church with a need. He's doing what he can to help. The missionaries coming in, he's doing what he can to help them. If I can just be a small part of my dad's ministry of being that Barnabas, I've accomplished much for the Lord, I feel, for what he's done. But he's encouraged me in my life. He's encouraged me through my schooling. He's encouraged me now and encouraged us now on the road. I call him up and he says, "Well, Tim, where you at now? Where you at now? Where you at now?" Because every time he asks, I'm someplace else. I am someplace else. Where you at? I'm in Detroit. Where you at now? I'm in Highland, Michigan. Where you at now? Oh, Dad, I'm over in Painesville, Ohio. Where are you going to next? I get that a lot. Where are you going to next, Brother Holtzclaw? Praise God, we're going home. Can I tell you something? We're praying for a house to sell. We really are. And my dad's praying for our house to sell. And he tells me this, my encourager. He says, "Tim, when your house is going to sell because God's going to give, you're giving it to God and God's going to do whatever he wants to with it. It's just got to wait for his timing." Yeah. Praise the Lord, we've had people look at it. Amen. We have people looking at it. That's a good thing. Our real estate agent said if someone comes to look at it, they'll buy it. They've come to look at it. I haven't seen a contract yet. But my dad's encouraging me, amen? So we're going home, and then where? Roanoke, Virginia. Home is Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's 6 hours from here, I guess, 5 or 6 hours. Then we're going to Roanoke, Virginia. That's another 5 hours. Then we're going to Jacksonville, North Carolina through the month of November to work with those Marines out there in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And then from there, we go to Clearwater, Florida. Anybody want to come along? All for the service of the King. I would not be able to do that if I did not have a Barnabas in my life to help me in my life. You see, I was just a little guy that was just striving to serve the Lord. I had a little theme for my heart and a theme for my teenage life, young teenage life. I was 11 when I got saved, so I was a tween when I got saved. But in my early teens, God just showed me that I needed to be a servant to God's servant. And God's servant is the pastor. I saw preachers that were signing Bibles, and I'd give them my Bible. Here, sign my Bible, sign my Bible. It wasn't that I was making them a star or anything like that. It was just a remembrance. Yeah. I have signatures in some of my Bibles of some great men of God that have already gone to be with the Lord. Yeah. And they're great remembrance to me, for me to remember them by their signature. And they have their life verse signed underneath it. And I kept seeing this one show up again and again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, Brother Holsko, you committed that to memory? I committed that to my life. I signed my name with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You see, as we allow ourselves to be used of God like a Barnabas, my dad, the Barnabas, was taking me to church, and only taking me to church, he'd take me to church on Saturday. But Daddy, Saturday's my day off. I get to watch the cartoons. I get to play my games. I get to go play football with the guys down at the corner. I get to do all these things on Saturday. Nope, you're going to church today. I love going to church. What do you do at church, Brother Tim, that you so love? I love mopping floors. I love cleaning the bathrooms. Amen. Toilets. Amen. I love that. I love vacuuming. When I did it, man, I had a great time. You know how the baseball fields are? You know, the professional baseball fields, and they have the grid look as they mow different ways. I tried to do that with the carpet with a vacuum cleaner. I'm a teenager. I tried to write my name, you know, kind of things with a vacuum cleaner. But you know, if you serve the Lord and you give yourself to the Lord, God opens the next door. We talk to guys that are headed off to Bible college or getting out of high school. And you say, hey, what are you going to do next? What do you want to be when you grow up? And that conversation happens often. And we talk with people. Some people ask me that from time to time because they think I'm so young. Hey, Brother Tim, what are you going to be when you grow up? What's that old Toys R Us song? I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. You know? Who's right there? Amen. I'm doing that again. You know, if you serve in the Lord and you give your heart like a Barnabas, and you say, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, clean toilets, mop floors, whatever. Play the piano, I don't know how, but I'm sure I can figure it out. Run this crazy digital sound system. Are you kidding? That's rocket science, but I'm sure I can figure it out. How to vacuum the floor just right and get the most out of the vacuum cleaner and efficiently and get it done faster. I'll figure it out. And guess what God did? God opened a door. God opened a door. I don't mind doing that stuff, and I still love doing it. Pastor, I have a vacuum cleaner for me later. Tomorrow you come in, and we'll see what kind of patterns we have on the carpet, unless somebody beats me to it. But can I tell you something? God opens a door. And I want to show you through the life of Barnabas how God's opened his door. He opened my door to go to Bible college. Bible college, then to work in my home church. My home church to go to Charlotte, North Carolina to be over in a ministry of 600 with many buses going and soul winners going and Sunday school classes and missions program and a food pantry and all that. All this was under my umbrella of ministry as the associate pastor. I can figure it out. And then from there, God called me to preach, to pastor. He opens doors. If you're faithful to what God wants you to do, he'll open doors. And my friend, they're good doors. He doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. Definitely because he doesn't call ladies to be pastors. So he doesn't call everybody to be pastors. He doesn't call everybody for the mission field. But yet we have a mission field right here. You have a mission field right here. And you are missionaries to Painesville, Ohio. Do you know that? And the surrounding area. This is you. This is your ministry. And so Barnabas had given himself personally, sacrificially, completely, and humbly. We learned in Sunday school that, what did he do? He went out in discipleship. He just started trying to find people and get them in a church. And then anybody that was already here he hadn't met, he tried to get to know them. Acts chapter 9. I'm going fast. I'm going to pick up pace here. In Acts chapter 9, we see where Barnabas was a help in Christian-like discipleship. We find in those verses, 27, about where Saul came in and Barnabas helped him. He took him and he brought him and he declared him and he spoke to him, and then they together partnered with him to send him. So three of these passages I taught in Sunday school this morning, we saw discipleship, we saw fellowship, we saw a kinship, we saw a relationship and a partnership. That's one-on-one. And God blessed, and God used them. And so now we see Barnabas taking, God opening up another door for him, which introduces tonight. Acts chapter 11, verse 30. Acts 11. He was a help in congregational strengthening. He was a help in congregational strengthening. Acts chapter 11, verse 20. If you're with me, say amen. All right, that's all introduction. That's gone. Let's keep on going. Verse 20 says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Amen. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I like those verses. Don't you like those verses? Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth who? They sent forth the Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he had come and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of much faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And it came to pass that a whole year that they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called what? Christians first in Antioch. Let's talk about church strengthening for just a moment tonight, shall we? And your part in strengthening your church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for tonight and your blessings to us. Lead us and guide us. Lord, help us to see who we really are and our purpose. And the Lord, and then act upon it. In this day and hour, dear Lord, as we prayed for our military, we pray for Israel, we pray, dear God, for the lost, we pray for our city. Yes, Lord, we pray for our president who needs our prayers. Our country, as we're going to vote next year, and dear Lord, so many things. There's so many things out of our hand that we must trust in you. But Lord, tonight, there's something that is in our hands, and there, Lord, that's our own heart. And may our heart be open to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. But Lord, lead us tonight. May your will and way be done. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. So we know God's blessing the church. God blessed the church there in Jerusalem. Souls are being saved and baptized. But persecution has come in. Hard persecution has come into Jerusalem. And in that persecution, people dispersed. And that's a good thing they dispersed too. Because God wanted them to disperse. Yeah. And as they left Jerusalem, they didn't leave alone. They had the Holy Spirit of God with them now. And they were going different places. We read about Philip. And how Philip went down to Samaria. And in Samaria, the Samaritans were having a revival meeting. And souls were being saved. And Philip was in that revival meeting. But God told him to leave there. And he left there. And he went out into this wilderness. And he found this man. The eunuch from Ethiopia. And he preached unto Christ. And he got saved. And then Philip went over to... Where did he go to? He went to somewhere on the ocean. There on the sea. And there he started a church there with his two daughters. They were spreading out. In the beginning of our passage here, we see some Grecians and we see some Cretans and we see these guys here from Cyprus and Cyrene. And they took off and they, when they were come to Antioch, verse number 11 again of our passage in Acts 11, They left Jerusalem, and now they're preaching, and they spake unto the Grecians, the Greeks that were there in Antioch, preaching the Lord Jesus. They were preaching what they heard in Jerusalem. And God blessed. And what does it say? Some got saved? What's it say? Half a dozen got saved? The Bible says a great number got saved. Now these guys were seeing great numbers get saved in the thousands already. So what was a great number to them? I don't know. But they started a church. They were preaching as they went. They got to Antioch. Many people were saved. And they started this congregation. And this congregation now that was going, tidings of it, verse 22, was heard in the ears of the church, or shall we say the apostles heard about this new church going on up in Antioch and how many Grecians are being saved. Well, what's all this? We've got to send somebody up there to find out what's going on. We've got to send somebody up there that can try to help them. Who can we send to Antioch that we know that's a helper in the church? How about this guy named Barnabas? Let's send him over there. I think he could help him. If this guy Barnabas is strong enough of faith to go grab this guy named Saul, who was a persecutor of the church, and get him into the church, then I think we can send him up there to Antioch where these Romans are. These Grecians who are seeking to kill people. Send Barnabas up there. And guess what happened? He went. Barnabas was faithful. He had given unto the Lord. And next we saw him over here. He was discipling people in the gate and getting them into church. And now God's opening up another door. I want you to go up there to Antioch. So he does. Here's my outline begins. And Pastor, they have a DS to each one. A DS to each one. So first we see here that what was going on is grace. Great. The tidings of the church, verse 22. And it says there, and they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Point number one, the disciples sent. You see, can I tell you something? When you're faithful to the Lord and you're faithful to your church and faithful to your pastor, it's a good thing, okay? this is a good thing. You're apt to get a job. That's a good thing. You're apt to be asked to do something in the church. Well, I don't want to be asked to do anything. That's the day we live in right now. Yeah. Sad to say. We live in a day and age right now that we just want to come in. We want to get lost in the crowd. We don't want anybody to see us, anybody to know that we're there. We're not going to sing loud. We're going to sing soft. And if someone sings, like if Ms. Holzclaw and I had gotten backslidden and we went to a church and we didn't want the preacher to know who and what we were, we would try to find the largest church we could find, kind of sneak in late, kind of find our way to the back. And when we grabbed a hymn book to sing, we would not sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." We would go, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." You know, we would sing off key, we would sing soft, we would, anybody know who we are if we're backslidden? Amen. But one that's right with God is willing to be a Barnabas to help. How can I help? I'm here to help. You know, you don't have to put an advertisement in the newspaper. "I'm here to help. Do you need help? Call 1-800-I-CAN-HELP. That works. Except for the eye. The eye, I doesn't fit. It's one too many for the eye. Can work, can help. But you know what? Well, you got dial number one first. One can help. Okay. But you know what? The thing is that we have to have a heart to help. Unless we're backslidden. Barnabas was sent because he had proven himself. He had shown himself faithful. He had shown himself worthy. Oh, when I pastor, I've been in ministry, not as long as your pastor. He's older than I am, a little bit. Amen. You know, but I've been in ministry long enough, about 25 years, and I can tell you in my ministry, as a pastor, as associate pastor over all these ministries, I've had guys come in. I don't know them from Adam's cat. Did Adam have a cat?
I don't know.
I don't either. See, I didn't know. I didn't know him. Didn't know. And they come in and say, hey, Brother Holzkopf, I want to let you know I have a great talent in singing and a great talent for music, and I want to be a part of your music program. And I said, very kind, wonderful. Pastor just went to go meet Dr. David Wood. He taught me this. Everything is great and wonderful. Well, that's great. Well, that's wonderful. I'm sure that God can use you one day. Oh, no, I'm ready to go. Can I sing a special next Sunday? Well, that's wonderful. That's great you have a heart burden for you to sing and sing praise unto the Lord. But we have a schedule that we already have put together, so we just need to work this in. And by the way, what is your name? Who are you? Anyways, I had one guy in my church. He said, Brother Holzkopf, I love playing the piano. I just love to play the piano. Oh, I just love playing it. Great, brother. We could use you. And he proved himself coming to church and faithful. He said, man, I'd love, always try them out first, Pastor. Don't put them on a piano until you've heard them play. He'd come and he'd want to play the piano, and brother, he'd get up there and he'd do some stuff like this. He'd get up there and he would go, And I'm like, oh, that's so pretty. Boy, you really can play. He said, why don't you come out Saturday and let me hear you play? And he said, okay, I'll play for you. And he plays something like that. And I said, what do you call that? Oh, didn't you recognize it? That's blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, yeah? Well, here's a songbook. Will you play it for me? And he says, oh, I can't read music. I just play what comes from my heart. That's wonderful. That's great. That's so wonderful. We can't follow your heart, my friend. Not as the congregation. Okay, everybody, let's sing Blessed Assurance. You ready? Where do I jump in? I'm sorry, I can't jump in that rope, my friend. But can I tell you something? God has a place for you, and God has a place for us. And if you serve God and you give in your heart to the Lord, and you come as a Barnabas saying, I'm ready to be used anywhere, you'll be sent. You'll be asked. Do you know a true missionary is one that's sent from their church? One that is sent from the church? A good pastor is one that's sent from his church? Barnabas was sent. Barnabas was sent by his people. And so, can I ask you something? Are you sendable? Are you sendable? Are you workable? Because you've proven yourself faithful. If not, then let's have revival. Number two, I want you to see, Barnabas does go. That's a message right there, isn't it, Pastor? We can have an invitation right now. But I got seven more points. Here we go. And so he went, and it says he went to Antioch, verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What I put here, he was deeply satisfied. He was deeply satisfied of what he saw. So here's Barnabas going to visit this new church. He doesn't know what he's going to find, and he hears some good things going on, and when he gets there, he is glad. He's deeply satisfied in what he finds. Got to tell you something, it's exciting to go to an exciting church. They don't have to have all the hoopla going on. They don't have to have streamers and programs and little kids everywhere, but a smile on your face and a joy in your heart for people. A handshaking time. I've been in churches to where they congregate. And handshaking time, these five people, they don't go anywhere, they go right there. And these seven people go over here. And they stay back there. And you go in as a visitor, you kind of sit there saying, okay, who do I go shake hands with? Okay, Ms. Holtz, you go minister to that one. I'll go minister to this one. With my girls, we can do four at a time. Okay, you go over there, and we'll go over here. And then we'll count to 10, and we'll shift. Hey, good to see you. Good to see you. 7, 8, 9, 10. Shift. You can walk to the other side. But to walk into a congregation that everybody's friendly, and everybody's shaking hands, and everybody's got a smile on their face, but more than that, everybody loves God. I mean, not everybody's, you know, holy or unholier than thou, but they have a desire to be there. And Barnabas saw this new church, and people were, they were preaching, and people were getting saved, and a great number were being saved and added unto the church, and the apostles heard about it. Barnabas, get up there and find out what's going on. I'm sure Barnabas in his own heart says, yeah, man, I want to get a piece of that. And so off he went. And when he got there, he was glad. He was deeply satisfied. But can I tell you something? I've been in a lot of churches that I have not been deeply satisfied. We've been in churches that we've been deeply sorrowed. Sorrowed to not know what was going to happen in the next 5 years in a church. We've seen churches in 5 years' time and less completely change, and some close, and some close. And you can see it when you walk in. There was no gladness there. There was no joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is it not? If only there was, and they're good people, and I'm sure they're good people, and things happened in the church, and trouble was happening here and there, and unbeknownst things to us, I'm sure underlying things were there. But we didn't see very many Barnabases there. But when we go to church where there's a Barnabas, or two, or three, or four, or five, or six, they come and they greet you and they say, hello, it's good to meet you, glad to have you in church today. That just brings excitement. That brings a joy into a preacher's heart. Makes one ready to preach, ready to go get them, ready to not hold back, but be willing to share, deeply satisfied. Oh, may we have more churches again. May this church be one that when visitors come and preachers come, that they may be glad when they come. The disciples sent him, and then he was deeply satisfied. Verse number 23, at the latter part, he demanded spiritual living, because he saw them and exhorted them all. Exhortation. That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Exhort us to challenge, to encourage, to preach at them. That with what? The purpose of heart. It's a heart issue, a heart matter, that they would cleave unto the Lord. Cleave, that's quite a word there. The word cleave, we first find there's laws of interpretation of the scriptures. And one of them is the law of first mention, when you start looking up words and finding out what things mean. And you go look for that word cleave, you first find it in the book of Genesis, where a man should leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Meaning that, yes, you're still related to them, and yes, you should respect your mom and dad, but in responsibility and accountability, you need to release them and cleave unto your one spouse. Amen. If you're a woman, it's a man. If you're a man, it's a woman. Amen. Leave and cleave. And here, Barnabas is encouraging this church that he's glad, and he's glad with what they're doing. And now he says, hey, folks, you're doing the right thing. Hey, you've got the right spirit. Now, I want to encourage you and demand some spiritual living in your life. Let's take it another step. Let's still go up another notch. Let's crank it to the next number. Let's turn it up, he's saying. In your heart, he says, that you would cleave unto the Lord. And where you're cleaving unto one, you must release the other. You see, over in John, well, he's teaching not the book of John, but in the first, second, third John. John gets pretty rough. John's a pretty rough preacher, my friend. He's a rough preacher. He gets in there and says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty harsh right there. If you love anything in this world, and then John's saying, God's love's not in you. He's not saying you're lost. He's just saying God's love's not found in you. It's not found in your life. It's not found in your testimony. It's not found in who you are. And he's sharing. Barnabas is now sharing that message. But now to these folks in Antioch who are excited about being saved, now that you're saved, let's do something for God. In church, that's what we need to be doing. We may have the music, we may have the program, we may have a smile, we may have a glad congregation, but if we're not moving forward in the Lord, my friend, we will die. Because it's our progression. And Barnabas has progressed now, and he's there, and he's preaching to them, and you know what? And they listened. And they listened to him. Why did they listen? Well, it says right here. It says, when he came, he saw and leaped, verse 24. For he was a good man. He's not talking about the people there in Antioch. It's referring back to the one and only individual we're talking about, and that's Barnabas. For he was a good man and filled with the Holy Ghost and of much faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. What'd you put for that, Brother Holzclaw? Well, number four, he demonstrated sanctification. He demonstrated sanctification. He demonstrated the Holy Spirit and faith in his life. To be sanctified means to be set apart. And we live daily to be sanctified, to be set apart from the world, and to be cleaving unto the Lord only. My Bible says that whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians, I believe. Is that right, Pastor, somewhere around there? He'll agree with me for right now until he looks it up. But can I tell you something? If we're glorifying the Lord, and we're honoring our faith and doing it humbly, the Holy Spirit will move in you unbeknownst to you. The Holy Spirit will use you in ways that you never thought that he would use you before. And what he's doing is that he's opening doors. He's just opening another door. You're Barnabas, you're walking forward, and you're allowing yourself to be sent to the Lord. You're allowing your heart to be glad, and you're just kind of having that heart for the righteousness of God. And then what's going to happen is that it's going to shine forth, and God's going to give you opportunity. A door open for you to witness to somebody. A door open for you to be a blessing to somebody. A door open for you to share kind words with somebody. A door will open for you to encourage someone to come to church and get into church. A door will open for you to help somebody to be restored again unto righteousness for his name's sake. So Barnabas came in. He just came in as a humble man, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, verse number 24 says, and of faith. And so what were the results of that? My last point, they had decisions for salvation. They had decisions for salvation. It said here that much people was added unto the Lord. Much people was added. And the church grew, and the church was doing great things. And Barnabas says, hey, I need help. So he leaves Antioch and he goes up to Tarsus, and that's where Saul's at. These folks aren't afraid of Saul. So he goes into Tarsus, grabs Saul. Saul, I need your help. Come on down. And he brings Saul back, and Saul helps. If we read a couple more verses, we find the listing of now the preachers in the church, and Barnabas is number one, and Saul is the last. And when they write names in a Bible, they usually have them in a significant order. There's reason for things, and the order was given. when you read about the apostles and they start listing off the apostles, who's normally first? Peter, James, John. And then the others kind of stagger in there by their level. And here Barnabas is first. Here Barnabas had given himself. And he's helping this church and he's bringing people in to do a great work for God. And that's where every church needs to be. And that's where every church needs to be growing. And every church needs to be seeing souls saved. We need to keep seeing spiritual babies born. We must. And how we do that is by sending and being sent, being deeply satisfied in the things of God and dissatisfied with the things of this world and demanding of ourselves spiritual living and walking holy unto God and walking in the Holy Ghost and walking in faith. And when God opens that door, oh, we can't help but tell somebody about Jesus. We can't help to share His love. We were out at a restaurant just a couple weeks ago up in Michigan and at a meeting that we were at, and one of the other guys was with us, and this little waitress came over. May I help you? And he says, you've been so kind to serve us. Can I serve you? And she said, well, what do you mean? I want to give you something. And he hands her a gospel tract. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And he said, will you read that right now? Just the front. And she read it. And he looked at her and said, are you sure? And she said, nah, nobody can be really sure. I said, yes, they can. He quickly gives his testimony. He's sharing Christ with her right there at the table. There's 10 of us around the table. Everybody in the restaurant is gone now. We stayed there a long time after Sunday afternoon lunch. Witnessing to her. And he said, wouldn't you like to bow your head and invite Christ to come into your heart? And she said she would. He said, would you like to do it right now? She said, I need to do that. And they prayed right there. In front of everybody? Us ten. But when you have that door of opportunity to walk in, my friend, we need to. For a church that's glad and a church that's sin, a church that's having spiritual living and the working of the Holy Ghost and your heart and life to be used of God and people can see it and of faith, my friend, souls will be saved. But I like this part too. That's great if folks are saved. But it says here in verse 26, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, where? First in Antioch. Why weren't they called Christians first in Jerusalem? Because they were Jews. The apostles were up there. We are the apostles of Christ. I'm not saying that they were proud. I wouldn't say they weren't seeing souls saved. I'm not even saying they didn't have their act and thing. The Holy Spirit wasn't working there. But this I do know, at that point where they were called Christians, they didn't have Barnabas because he was up in Antioch. Yeah. And what was Barnabas doing? That verse says there is that he was teaching them and he taught them. What did he teach them? How to be like Christ. Amen. How to have the Holy Spirit in your heart. How to be like the Lord. How to be a good Barnabas. And God blessed. And my friend, right now, if we were just to surrender ourselves and release ourselves of ourselves and say, Lord, I'm going to let go of the things of this world and I'm going to cleave unto the Lord. And I'm going to be whatever God wants me to be. And I'll go wherever He wants me to go. I'll do whatever He wants me to do. I'll give whatever He wants me to give. As a humble servant. Because actually all we're doing is living the life of Christ. And as we live the life of Christ, others would see and others will know, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? And let it be known of your life and of your testimony that you are a follower of Christ. But if you're not tonight, I pray that right now the Holy Spirit of God is pulling on a string of conviction right now, maybe stepping on your toes just a little bit to say, you know, I'm not the Christian that I could be or the Christian that I should be. And, I've really been one of those guys, Brother Holtzclaw, that you've been saying, been just kind of hiding in the pew a little bit, just trying to get away. And really, God's just speaking to my heart right now. And maybe you're the one that's saying, you know, I just wish I could do more and serve more. You can. By being faithful right where you are. But it starts with a humble heart. And when God tugs on that humble string, the string to humble you a little bit, that's that moment at that invitation to take a walk down that old sawdust trail and get things right at an old-fashioned altar. And if you can't walk the trail, then sit right where you are and deal with God in your heart and life. Dr. David Wood says, strike while the iron's hot. And when that iron's hot and glowing red with the fire, my friend, that's when you allow God to mold you. Not when you're cold and cold of heart. And so tonight, with our heads bowed and eyes closed all across the auditorium, I know this church has been here for some time, and many of you folks have been members here a long time. And it's very easy to get set into the ways of the norm and acceptance and comfort zone, and many people call that a rut. And I heard one preacher say a rut is nothing but a grave with both ends knocked out. So revival is a time to get out of that rut and be ready to serve. Be ready to give of yourself. Ready to be a Barnabas. How can I help? How can I serve? Right now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you need to say a prayer in your heart and life and saying, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord, for not being that Barnabas. Forgive me of my heart, my cold heart, where I've let it go. And Lord, I desire tonight that while my heart is warm, to be moved and plied by you so that, dear God, you find me faithful to be sent. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's all stand together, shall we? And as we all stand together, well, we have our heart knit with the Lord tonight, and God's tugged upon your heart. I'm going to play something, sing something, and that'll be the invitation song. But let me ask you something tonight. Is God near in your heart? Is God near in your life? Well, he's near enough. No. Is he near? Can you see him working in your heart and life? As a Barnabas. If not, you need to come tonight. If you're born again, you know that you're saved. Praise the Lord. But if you're lost tonight, you do not know the Lord and Savior as your, Lord as your Savior, then my friend, tonight's the night you need to be saved. Tonight you need to surrender and say, Lord, here am I. I need you tonight. And my friend, we need to give our heart to Jesus. We need to give our life to Jesus. Because he is our all in all. As I play this wonderful song, my God is near, and he is near, my friend, and he wants to work in your heart and your life. I left my glasses over here. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless this invitation. We give it unto you, pastor, as you come and help.
Make me know your presence.